Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, Eric Christensen, and pharmacist, of course. And today I'm going to cover cimetidine, which is the brand name of Tagamet. Now, this medication is classified as an H2 receptor antagonist. And if you remember mechanistically, so parietal cells are in the gut, the stomach, and they secrete stomach acid, which ultimately lowers the pH. And histamine actually binds on those receptors and stimulates them to produce that acid. So by being a histamine 2 receptor blocker, we can actually reduce the amount of stomach acid that is secreted. Okay, so that's how that drug works to reduce stomach acid. So you could imagine what this medication would primarily be used for. Any type of situation that you've got an excess of stomach acid and or that acid is causing damage, discomfort, pain, things like that. So GERD, if you've got some sort of peptic ulcer, things of that nature, acid secretion disorders, where we, the body produces excessive amounts of acid potentially. And a good example of that is Zollinger-Ellison syndrome. Those are good examples of what this medication might be used for. One of my greatest frustrations with cimetidine is that this drug is available over the counter. I rarely see it used. I can't recall the last time I had seen it prescribed. But I did want to cover it specifically because it is available over the counter. And the reason why it's not used is because it has a ton of drug interactions. But patients who, may not be that savvy, they see acid reducer on the counter, over the counter, and they may pick it up and start using it. And there's several drug interactions. I don't have time to cover them all, but I will, obviously, towards the end of the podcast here, as I usually do. So I'll get into that, but that is why this drug is not used very often and not prescribed, is because of all those nasty drug interactions. One pharmacokinetic issue, or I can think of a couple, actually. So onset of action, the H2 blockers generally work a little bit quicker than like the PPIs, for example, like omeprazole. So that's kind of one unique thing that a patient say, oh, wow, I took, cimetidine, or I took, another H2 blocker, and I felt better much more quickly than I did maybe taking, one pill of omeprazole, for example. So that's a good education point to kind of remember and tease out if you're discussing that with patients. Adverse effect profile. So that one other kind of pharmacokinetic thing that's kind of quirky with cimetidine, it is dose adjusted based upon renal function, but it can actually interfere with the secretion out of the body of creatinine. Now, why is that important? Well, we use creatinine to monitor kidney function and change in kidney function over time. So if cimetidine messes with that, and it can actually raise serum creatinine by preventing it from leaving the body, because it can raise the serum creatinine, it may appear that a patient's kidney function is getting worse, when in all actuality, the kidneys are just fine. The drug is just kind of messing with those creatinine concentrations. So kind of one unique thing to keep in mind if you do have a patient that has a changing creatinine This medication could potentially mess with that a little bit. Other adverse effects, unique to cimetidine, this drug actually can have some antagonistic effects towards testosterone, which could lead to a couple things, or at least contribute to a couple things, sexual dysfunction potentially, as well as gynecomastia. So that's basically man boobs is the way I remember it, for lack of a better scientific term there. So that's what gynecomastia is, and one of the unique drugs that can potentially contribute to that. Spironolactone, an aldosterone antagonist, is usually the classic example that you hear of it happening most common there. Rarely, you may see some CNS changes. I can't say I've ever seen it in clinical practice, but I would keep an eye out for patients on higher dose, and maybe if they've had some renal impairment that might make them more at risk for getting higher concentrations in the blood. B12 deficiency, there is some evidence there that it can contribute to that. Certainly remember that PPIs have a high incidence of that, or can cause that as well. And then, yeah, that alteration in creatinine I mentioned already there. So let's take a quick break, and I will definitely talk about some common drug interactions that should scare you, and is really why we don't see cimetidine used terribly often. If you're in the market for good clinical pearls, medication education, definitely go check out our list of Audible books. You can go find those at meded101.com/store. Also, if you're a pharmacist and or a pharmacy student, we've got a growing list of board certification study materials. So BCPS, NAPLEX, BCACP, BCGP, and newly to the board certification pool is BCMTMS. So that's a board certification in medication therapy management as well, which is a new certification out there. So you can find all those resources. I've got the entire list of everything that we've got. Go support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. So finishing up on drug interactions here, cimetidine has a lot of different mechanisms through which it may alter the concentrations of drugs. So we've got some inhibition of CYP1A2, 3A4, which is a big one for a lot of drugs, 2C19, 2D6. So cimetidine can inhibit all those different enzymes. And as you can imagine, that could potentially lead to altering the concentrations of various drugs. So I'm going to run you through a list. This is not an all-inclusive list, as I always repeat or try to repeat with the drug interaction sections. I just pulled out some really big ones that might lead to some really, really important clinical adverse consequences. So amiodarone, you know, cardiac med, yeah, obviously higher concentrations, you know, could increase risk of QTC prolongation and other toxicities. Aripiprazole, so an antipsychotic, also can be used as augmentation in depression. Diltiazem, verapamil, so a couple of calcium channel blockers there. Carvedilol, so you know, fairly commonly used antihypertensive beta blocker type medication there. We've got some antidepressants, citalopram, escitalopram, and fluoxetine. So concentrations can be raised with those medications. Carbamazepine, drug can be used for, you know, trigeminal neuralgia or seizure disorder. A very, very important one, obviously, there. Metformin concentrations can be raised a little bit. Pramipexole, dopamine agonist. Sulfonylureas, so might put a patient at risk for higher incidence of hypoglycemia there. Warfarin, definitely always a common drug that can be affected by other drugs. And I will say in clinical practice, I have seen one case of phenytoin toxicity due to this interaction with cimetidine. So cimetidine can raise concentrations by inhibiting breakdown metabolism. And it did end up resulting in a case of phenytoin toxicity for a patient. So that's just, you know, very short list. I mean, there are many, many more medications that I could list off there. But you've got to remember to look for drug interactions and that risk if you do see a patient on cimetidine. And I would also encourage you, if you're in a position where you're advising patients on over-the-counter medications and things of that nature, to absolutely steer clear of cimetidine due to the risk of numerous interactions there. That's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy the show, would love a kind rating review on iTunes if you take a moment and do that, or wherever else you're listening there. You can track us down, reallifepharmacology.com. We've also got that free giveaway. It's a 31-page PDF, you know, great resource for, you know, nursing students, pharmacy students, and healthcare professionals, all healthcare professionals alike, that, you know, interact, use medications on a daily basis there. So reallifepharmacology.com, go check that out, and you can contact me through there as well, and track me down on LinkedIn. That'd be Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Signing off for today. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you pick something up. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.